the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 8th of July 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, Tommy Robinson has been found guilty of contempt of court last week. It was hoped that he was going to win his case. There was a lot of evidence to say that he should have won the case. He was able to show that he did seek to find out whether there were any reporting restrictions on the trial that he was live streaming outside of. He did go in there. There were no messages on the courtroom TVs. There were no messages on the courtroom notice board. The court themselves admitted that they did not put up notices saying that there were reporting restrictions. Just in case there were reporting restrictions, Tommy didn't actually report on the trial either. All he did was ask the people going in how they felt about the verdict today. The verdict was supposed to be released on this trial that day, and all he did was read out information that was already in the public domain. So he did really have a strong case to show that he was not intending to break the law. He took every possible step he could have done to ensure that he wasn't breaking the law, and it was entirely feasible that the mainstream media were just choosing not to report on these trials because they want to cover up the crimes of these Islamic rape gangs against white victims for the sake of community cohesion and because they don't want to be accused of hate crimes. You see, this is the reason why Cresta Dick, the head of the Metropolitan Police, will say things such as London has always had a problem with Muslim rape gangs, even though that's not true, because she doesn't want to be accused of Islamophobia or hate crimes. And she will say things like, well, it's not just Muslim rape gangs. There are these mysterious other rape gangs operating in London. And the mainstream media is like that. They are frightened of actually reporting correctly on what is going on in this country. And Tommy Robinson, whether you like him or not, he does highlight these sorts of issues. He is an alternative media journalist, probably the most popular one that we have in Britain. And the government just seem to really, really hate him, with a vicious hatred they have for him. And the mainstream media as well, which is, you know, it's so surprising, really, because he agrees with them on most things. I mean, I believe he supports the Conservative Party. He's a committed multiculturalist. He thinks Luton is wonderful because it's full of all these non-whites. He just has an issue against the crimes which Islamic extremists carry out. And it's not like he criticizes the whole of Islam. I mean, he doesn't criticize Muslims. And this seems to be a problem that a lot of his detractors have, is they don't seem to be able to understand the difference between Islam and Muslims. Islam is the religion itself, and Muslims are the people themselves that follow that religion. And he's never actually critical of the people that follow it. He's always just critical of the religion itself and the way that it is interpreted by some of the people that follow it. I mean, don't forget, all these terrorist attacks, they all say who it was that encouraged them to carry out the attack. They all shout out the name of the person that encouraged them to carry out these horrific attacks while they're doing them. It's not like we don't know who was responsible for them, who the criminal kingpin is. It's Allah. That's, you know, that's what these terrorists tell us. They even go into court with verses from the Quran, saying these are the verses from the Quran that encouraged me to do this. And Tommy actually reports on it, and, you know, you have to give him credit for that, for highlighting this. And you have to give him credit for integrity and standing up to all of this. Because it's costing him an absolute fortune. £30,000 a time, I think it's costing him to go to court. This recent incident has cost him £100,000. And now he's been found guilty, despite all the evidence that shows that he's not actually guilty. But because this is a case that's been brought against him by the Attorney General, who is the government's lawyer, they really, I guess, they think, well, we're just going to have to find him guilty anyway, never mind the evidence that shows that he's innocent. So, of course, he's worried about going to prison again, because contempt of court does hold a maximum 2-year prison sentence. I don't think that they will send him to prison again. I think they will want to save face. I think they will say, well, you were guilty of this, we want to set a precedent so that other people don't go reporting on these trials. We only want the mainstream media reporting on them. But we understand that you've already served time in prison and it probably caused you more harm than it would have caused somebody else in prison that didn't have to be put in solitary confinement for their own safety. So we'll just leave the sentence at time served. I think that is probably what the government are going to do, because otherwise they will look even worse than they look now. And that was the real reason for this case. If you look at it, I looked at the notes, which one of the independent journalists was writing while the court case was going on. And it became apparent that the real reason for this, it isn't because they think Tommy is sticking two fingers up at the court. It's because they don't want other people reporting on these cases. They don't want the alt media turning up at these trials and doing the same thing that the mainstream media does, basically. I mean, part of Tommy's defense was to show the BBC's treatment of him while he's been going into court, where he's been surrounded by reporters, thrusting microphones in his face, asking him how he feels about being charged, all these sorts of things. And he wasn't anywhere near as bad as that outside of this court case of this Muslim grooming gang. It was just him there. There was just one reporter there with a microphone, just asking them how they felt about the verdict. And the people that he was asking how they felt about the verdict, they were insulting his mother and various other insults that they were throwing at him. So you can really say that just from that, you can show that there's a huge bias in this trial against him, because the mainstream media are allowed to do exactly what Tommy was doing. And the reason why this is being carried out against him is because he's a citizen journalist. He's a member of the public that has decided that he's going to report on these issues, because there is a market for that. There's a huge market for truthful news that's being carried out by members of the public that shows the point of view that the patriotic-minded public have. We don't have any patriotic representation in the mainstream media. If you look at news sites that are supposed to be right-wing, like the Daily Mail or like the Express, yes, they do point out black and white crimes. Yes, they do point out some of the rape gang crimes, but any patriots that then speak up against it, they get smeared as Nazis, far-right, white supremacists in exactly the same way that these newspapers have attacked Tommy and called him a far-right, white supremacist. And Britain First get the same. UKIP, to a certain degree, get the same. They certainly get more now that Nigel Farage isn't there. Farage seems to get put across as he's the approved patriot is, he's the approved patriot that will be on the television that they won't call a white supremacist or a Nazi. And that's about the only patriotism that we're allowed. That's the only approved patriotism that we're allowed in Britain. And really, when the public sees this, and they see the way that people like Tommy Robinson are attacked in the mainstream media, it doesn't make them be angry at Tommy. It just shows up the media and the government for the hypocrites that they are and the double standards that they employ. I've been saying for quite a while now that the best recruiter that we have is the mainstream media. Because what happens when you switch on the television? Well, you see all this promotion of homosexuality, particularly this month. We've had all this total attempts to brainwash people into thinking that homosexuality is good, that it's exactly the same as heterosexuality. Today we've got Black Pride Day, and anybody watching that is going to be thinking, well, hang on a minute, Black Pride Day? How come we don't have a White Pride Day then? How come whenever it's White Pride, it's people are being attacked as being Nazis and white supremacists, and yet when it's Black Pride Day, there's special news reports on it throughout the day on the BBC? I mean, this is just obvious to people that are watching this. They don't have to have a nationalist commentator pointing it out to think that to themselves when they see this. And then when they see the government talking about how we need to have more immigrants, immigrants help the economy, and you're trying to get your kid into school and you can't because there's too many foreigners at the school already, and your wife is ill and you take her to the hospital, to the A&E, and she can't be seen for 24 hours because the place is full of foreigners. And when you do get in to see a doctor, you can't understand what he's saying. And then you hear the BBC talking about how wonderful it is, immigration, and you see the government calling for more of it. That wakes people up. That makes people think, oh, hang on a minute, the BBC is not on our side. The BBC is an enemy of the people. And then you start looking for the people that the BBC claims are the enemies of Britain, the nationalists, and then people seek out what the nationalists have to say. And this is why Tommy's got such a huge following. They've taken him down off of Facebook. They've removed his videos from YouTube. They've taken him down from Twitter. And yet his following still just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's because of the way he is attacked by the mainstream media, the way that he is reported on. And people aren't stupid. People can go and look for this information themselves. Even if he is no longer on Facebook, people will still try to find out what he has to say because they know that they're not being told the truth by the mainstream media. I mean, all that we do here at Radio Aryan is add commentary to what the mainstream media is doing. But anybody can do that. Anybody can just switch on the news and, you know, the average member of the public is going to feel like wanting to throw things at the television. That's just the way that people feel, and that wakes people up. And you can see the controlled opposition, as I say, in newspapers like the Daily Express and like the Daily Mail, that then go attacking the people that are attempting to speak up about this. And more people are waking up to it, which is good. And we've got a few days to wait until we actually get a sentence for Tommy. But as I say, I think he is going to be let off with time served. And it's going to have cost him a fortune. And this brings up another bit of a quandary, really. Because he's had two court cases recently. He had a case a while back where he took the police to court for the atrocious treatment that him and his children were given when he was taking his children out to a football match. And the police just walked into the pub and demanded that he leave the city. And they escorted him out of the pub. And he hadn't committed any crime. He hadn't committed any upset. There hadn't been any report of him doing anything. They just told him, you've got to get out of the city. And his kids were crying. And he thought, well, I'm going to take them to court over this. So he filed his court complaint, and the police said to him, look, if you settle out of court, we'll drop the issue. Let's just settle it out of court. We'll pay you a bit of money and we'll drop the issue. Tommy refused to settle out of court. He wanted to make a point. So he took him to court and he lost. And as far as this incident here is concerned, with this contempt of court, I think he was told that, look, if you plead guilty to this, you'll just be let off. You'll just be let off with time served if you plead guilty to it. But of course, he's got integrity, and you know he's got his honour to think about, and it does cause this quandary of, you know, what would have been the best thing to do? Would it have been better for him to have dropped the case against the police, where he would have been given substantial compensation and he wouldn't have lost his £30,000 on the court case, and then he could have used that money to build up his media empire, or used that money to sue one of these newspapers that have slandered him? Would he have been better to just plead guilty to this contempt of court case? Of course, he could have made his videos and said, look, I'm not guilty, but I'm going to plead guilty, just because that would be the better thing all round, because that means that I'm not going to be in prison. That means I'm going to be out of prison. That means I'm still going to be a thorn in the side of the establishment. And if I plead not guilty, there is a chance that I could be sent back to prison. So it just does bring up a bit of a quandary in here. You cannot say absolutely what is the right thing for him to do. And I think the nationalist way to look at it is, what is in the best interests of the nation? Is it in the best interests of the nation if he makes a point and refuses to back down and stands his ground and can be held up as an example of standing his ground, even if he's been sent to prison and even if he loses the case? Or is it better for the nation if he backs down, saves the money, and remains in circulation and is able to keep his media site going? I mean, it's a bit of a quandary, isn't it? Knowing quite which one is the right one to choose. And that's the sort of decisions, I guess, people have to make when they're in that position. It's sort of like, well, do we support Donald Trump, who is pro-Zionism, pro-Israel, pro-homosexuality, but he does speak up against immigration, particularly in Europe, and he speaks out against the Muslims. And then you have to look at, well, how big is Donald Trump? Well, he's absolutely huge. He's the American president. So it is absolutely huge when the American president speaks out against immigration. It's wonderful. So yes, we do have to support Donald Trump for that. I mean, we have to use our brains for this. We have to think about these things. We can't just say, well, outright, we can't support anybody that shows support for Zionism, because you have to look at how powerful they actually are and how much influence they actually have. I mean, we live in a world where things are very grey nowadays, because the world is so far fallen, because it is so corrupt. Everything's got a little bit of evil in it. And it's very hard to try and just stick to the right path, because whichever way you go, there's going to be some kind of drawback to it. There's going to be some kind of wickedness that's attached to it. And this next news story that I've got here, again, this brings up a quandary of quite what is the best thing to be preferred. There's a report here that's was called for by Jeremy Hunt about the persecution of Christians. And the upshot of it is that they are asking for anti-Christian discrimination to be put on the same level as Islamophobia and anti-Semitism. Now, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, obviously, we think that it's wrong that you can't criticize Islam and you can't criticize Jews. But if they made it that you can't criticize Christians, then they couldn't criticize us for pointing out Christian traditions. They couldn't criticize us for saying, well, Jeremy Hunt is a rice burner. He's got a Chinese wife. He's breaking Christian law. It's a capital offence, according to the Old Testament, to then say, well, that's hate speech. Well, no, that's anti-Christian discrimination. So is it a good thing or is it a bad thing if they did come up with Christophobia, I guess they would call it, or anti-Christianism? Well, it's quite an interesting report here anyway, and this is from The Guardian. The UK government should be prepared to impose sanctions against countries that persecute Christians, a report commissioned by the Foreign Office has recommended. It should also adopt a definition of anti-Christian discrimination and persecution, similar to those applied to Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, the report says. British diplomats and other Foreign Office staff, both in the UK and abroad, should have mandatory training in religious literacy in order to equip them to understand the scale and significance of the issue. Now, what do they mean by that? Do they mean that they should understand what the Christian literary works are saying? I would suggest it would be far more important that they understood what things such as the Quran and the Talmud said with regards to Christians. But I don't think that's what they're pointing out here. The report by Philip Mountstephen, the Bishop of Truro, was commissioned by the Foreign Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, to examine the extent and nature of Christian persecution and assess the UK government's response. Hunt said that he would enact all of the recommendations if he became Prime Minister, and said that he agreed with the report's conclusion that Christians were the most persecuted religious group in the world. That's all very good. Hunt said the UK must take a firmer stance on the persecution of Christians around the world. The sense of misguided political correctness that has stopped us standing up for Christians overseas must end, he said. At home we all benefit from living in a tolerant, diverse society, and we should not be afraid of promoting those values abroad. It is a sad fact that Christians are the most persecuted religious group in modern times. I am determined to show that we are on their side. So why are we accepting all these immigrants and so-called refugees from Islamic countries and refusing entry to Christians from places like Syria? 99% of the so-called refugees come from Islam. And the ones that apply to the UN that are Christian, they get turned away. So there is a UN bias against Christianity. An estimated one-third of the world's population suffers from religious persecution in some form, with 80% of them being Christians, it is claimed. Open Doors, which monitors Christian persecution around the world, has estimated that on average each month, 345 Christians are killed for faith-related issues. And I wonder how many of them have been killed by Muslims. Christian persecution had multiple drivers, and as such, it deserves special attention. More specifically, it is certainly not limited to Islamic majority contexts, so this review is not a stalking horse for the Islamophobic far right, nor does it give the Islamophobic right a stick to beat Islam with, the report says. Well, there is, apparently, there is persecution of Christians in North Korea and in China, but I don't think they're being murdered and crucified and thrown off buildings and raped and things like that. I think they're just being told, well, you can't have your churches here because we're a communist country. And that goes the same for all religions. So even in this report, they're terrified of being called Islamophobic for pointing out that it's wrong to attack Christians. The report added there is a sense that for a number of reasons we have been blind to this issue, and those reasons would certainly include post-colonial guilt, a sense that we have interfered uninvited in certain contexts in the past, so we should not do so again. Well, yes, we should never have interfered in these other countries, but the interference that we gave them is basically building up all their infrastructure and technology and giving them the benefits of civilization, which they will never thank us for. It acknowledged that Christians had also historically persecuted others. One thinks with shame of the Crusades, the Inquisition, and the pogroms. Well, just think about that. The Crusades were a response to Islam invading Europe. The Inquisition was a response to Jews claiming to be Christians while still practicing their Jewish ideas, and also by that getting to the top positions of power by claiming to be Christian and then doing things like legalizing usury, and the pogroms, as if the Jews had done absolutely nothing wrong and the people, Christians, just suddenly rose up against them and attacked them, which of course we know is a nonsense. Then it says, but this is not simply a historical phenomenon. Some of the violence in the Central African Republic has very likely been initiated by Christian militia. But of course, well, that, and that's the reason why we shouldn't have blacks in Britain, whether they're Christian or Muslim. Don't allow them into Britain. This is one of the reasons why I say that Christianity is only for white people. If you give Christianity to these other races, they turn it into something completely different. It continues, and responsibility for the dreadful massacre of 8,373 Bosnians in Srebrenica in July 1995 must be laid squarely at the feet of those who professed Christian faith. I may not be correct on this, but I do think actually this, the problems that we had in Serbia and Bosnia were caused by these Muslims. I mean, what are Muslims doing in Europe? What are these Bosnian Muslims doing in Europe in the first place? Why are they trying to take over Srebrenica? Why are they trying to take over Kosovo? And it was the Americans and NATO that steamed in there, supporting these Muslims and bombing the Christians. So I don't think we can blame that on Christians at all. Among the report's recommendations to the Foreign Office were that it should be prepared to impose sanctions against perpetrators of FORB abuses and seek a UN Security Council resolution urging all governments in the Middle East and North Africa to protect Christians and other persecuted minorities. Yeah, I can just see the UN slapping sanctions on Saudi Arabia and Pakistan and Qatar and all these other countries where it's illegal to be Christian, Egypt, where they go out and crucify Christians. I can really see the UN and America putting sanctions on them all. So it's quite bizarre that Jeremy Hunt has said that he would actually implement all of this, because I really do doubt whether he would do anything about it once he actually thought about it. He's just saying that because he wants to be elected as Prime Minister. The government should name the phenomenon of Christian discrimination and persecution and undertake work to identify its particular character alongside similar definitions for other religions. That's the bit where it's saying that it needs to be looked at the same as Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, which, as I say, I'm not so sure that that's, that is such a good thing, because we should be able to criticize. And this Christian discrimination and persecution, I mean, this is actual murders of people in other countries. And Islamophobia and anti-Semitism is basically just criticism of Muslims and criticism of Jews, which a lot of people think is hate speech or not allowed in Britain. But we do actually have a protection of our freedom of expression, which I wanted to just fit in here at the end of the podcast. This is from the Public Order Act, 1986, section 29J. Subheading, Protection of Freedom of Expression. Now, this Public Order Act, that's the act that makes it illegal to incite racial hatred, religious hatred, all that sort of thing. But this clause that was put in there, this says, nothing in this part shall be read or given effect in a way which prohibits or restricts discussion, criticism, or expressions of antipathy. That means expressions of dislike. It says hatred, in fact, antipathy. It says dislike, ridicule, insult, or abuse of particular religions, or the beliefs or practices of their adherents, or any other belief system or the beliefs or practices of its adherents, or proselytizing, or urging adherents of a different religion or belief system to cease practicing their religion or belief system. So there you have it. It's written into law that the Public Order Act, which restricts incitement to religious hatred and all the rest of it, that is not to be used in a way which prohibits people from ridiculing, insulting, or abusing any particular religion. And I guess a lot of people don't know about this, and I guess the Crown Prosecution Service, when it takes people to court for doing these things, it just ignores this clause in the Public Order Act and hopes that the lawyers and the people accused don't know about it. So it's quite an important clause to know about, I would suggest. Public Order Act 1986, Section 29J, Protection of Freedom of Expression. Okay, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with a special guest. We have Matthew Heimbach joining us tomorrow to let us know what he's been up to over the last 6 months after he left the National Socialist Movement. So thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan at radioaryan.com.